And welcome to A General Afternoon. My name is Jamie Waste. I'll be your host for today's program. Following National Native News, we'll get an update on conditions and activities up on the mountain at Eagle Crest. Folks will be here to tell us about the second annual Naughty or Nice Beer and Wine Tasting fundraiser for the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. Andy Klein will join us with information on the Smoked Porter Vertical Tasting event at the brewery this Friday, and information from Catholic Community Services regarding a family caregiver support group. Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music, and more up next on A Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News in Juneau.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In 1881, hundreds of northern Arapaho children were taken from their homes in Wyoming. They were sent to the Carlisle Boarding School in Pennsylvania. Many never returned. As Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports, today the tribe is applying to reclaim the remains of students who died there.
Through the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, the tribe is hoping to claim the remains of 41 boarding school students. Yufna Soldierwolf is the director of the Northern Arapaho Tribal Historic Preservation Office. She says she doesn't expect the process to be easy.
There have been other tribes who have wanted their children repatriated from that area, and so it's been a big fight. For some reason, they don't want to let the children go there. It's really about the idea of finally bringing these kids home after 150 years.
Soldier Wolf says more than 200 Northern Arapaho students died at the school, many from disease or depression.
A lot of them were dying from loneliness. A lot of them would get sick. A lot of them were just, you know, had thought maybe their tribes had given up on them and maybe, you know, didn't want to be there anymore.
Soldier Wolf says it was hard to choose from the list of students who listed their names as Arapaho. She says many were given European names as a way to assimilate them. She says the tribe hopes to have the students return to Wyoming in the next 2 years.
The plan is to rebury them and have them here back with their families. In a way, they still affect our lives today because they're not at peace.
Soldier Wolf says her organization has been trying to get the students' remains back for a traditional Arapaho burial for almost a decade now. For National Native News, I'm Melody Edwards in Laramie.
After 6 years, Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission has presented its final report on the country's Indian residential schools. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the head of the commission says all Canadians must understand how important the process of reconciliation is to Indigenous people.
Most of what was presented in the final report was included in the preliminary report unveiled in June by the chairman of the commission, Justice Murray Sinclair. In Ottawa on Tuesday with the Prime Minister in attendance, Sinclair also made some additions. The final report says officially 3,200 Native students died while attending the schools between 1867 and 2000, but
as much as 5 to 10 times as high as that. It's because the records are so poor.
The final report dedicates an entire volume to the children who died or disappeared over a century, many buried in unmarked graves. Sinclair says health and safety standards at government-funded church-run schools were poor in order to cut costs. Some survivors told of tuberculosis rampaging through school populations, and accidental deaths were common. Buildings were poorly maintained, and many became fire traps. The schools were supposed to help assimilate Aboriginal children into white culture. Instead, thousands of students were physically, sexually, or emotionally abused. Sinclair stresses that all Canadians must understand why there needs to be a reconciliation process, especially for Indigenous youth.
There is a need for Indigenous people, Indigenous youth in particular, to be able to find their self-respect, to ensure that they have the ability to develop pride in themselves, by understanding who their heroes are, by understanding the validity of their cultures and their languages, and by ensuring that Canadians overall respect that as well.
For its part in the residential school system, the Canadian government apologized in 2008. Now, new Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he will implement all 94 recommendations made by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support by the National Indian Health Board. Open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace ends January 31st. Many Indian health clinics are hosting enrollment events with help available. You may qualify for low-cost plans, zero copays, and deductibles. More info at healthcare.gov/tribal.
Kwanek Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction taking place February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kwanek's news programming. Learn more at KMBA.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And up first on the program today is, I think it's every week pretty much during the ski season. Or
yeah,
I don't know.
Every Wednesday.
It seems like every Wednesday Eagle Crest is on the show.
Definitely.
Okay, very good. So Charlie and Matt have joined us in the studio for an update on all things Eagle Crest. And Matt, maybe I'll let you cue it up. What's going on?
Yeah, so a little bit of uncertainty as far as what the next couple days will bring from operating. But a couple certainties are Saturday, we're going to operate all four lifts to start off the holiday week. This will be the first time that all four lifts have operated Eagle Crest since April of 2014.
Ooh, okay. Say that again.
It's the first time that we'll operate all four lifts at Eagle Crest since April of 2014.
Hey!
Long time coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about it. It's, the Porcupine area is going to open. What exact terrain, I don't know yet, but we're definitely going to have some there. Ptarmigan's going to open. What terrain will be skiing off of that, I don't know yet, but there'll definitely be something there. And then the Hooter and Black Bear lifts will operate as well. So a lot's going to depend when we get up, get to the mountain tomorrow and check it out and see how the snow's held up and what might be coming tomorrow as well. But, looking at west side skiing, we're looking at, all the good stuff on Black Bear we've been skiing the past couple weeks. And then for tomorrow on Friday, on Friday, 2 days from now, there is a possibility that Ptarmigan may run with some west side skiing. So
stay tuned.
Facebook, skijuno.com, those are your sources for the most up-to-date information.
Now, part of your job responsibilities are you have to go ski the mountain to help ascertain whether or not an opening on Friday is possible. Is that correct?
This is true. This might happen tomorrow for me.
This might happen tomorrow.
Yeah, which is a nice perk. I don't get out all that often.
I don't know if that's a perk. I think that's part of your job responsibilities.
It is. It's a little bit of both. And I will go out with ski patrol
and
some mountain operations people, and we'll ski around the mountain and check out what we can safely do.
Very
makes
good.
Sense. And then with the holiday week starting Saturday, we'll be operating every day with the exception of Christmas Day through January 4th.
Sounds great.
Yeah, big stretch, lots of fun. Can't wait to see people.
And then Nordic, how are things looking for Nordic up there?
Yes, yeah, so we will be officially opening the upper loop for Nordic skiing. So we've been kind of grooming and packing the past couple weekends, but we're going to officially call it open as of Saturday and get the upper loop going. Lower loop is still going to need some more snow. Definitely way down low on the mountain there. We don't have as much as we do farther up. So we're looking for classic and skate skiing up on the upper loop, and we'll have details on access and everything there. But definitely get your passes or day tickets for Nordic because that season has started as well.
Charlie, rail jam.
We're pulling it off.
Yeah, we're going to have to
reset
now for everybody. Some people have been tracking this story, but for people who haven't heard about rail jam, let's just start at the beginning. What is rail jam?
We're bringing snow down from the mountain and setting up a terrain park in Marine Park, downtown Juneau, for skiers and snowboarders after the day of skiing on the mountain. They can come down, and a terrain park is sort of a simulated skate park for skiers and snowboarders. So it'll be a fun little area with lots of snow, scaffolding sort of platform for people to go down, and lots of room for spectators along the sides with food, music, stadium lights, and a beer garden as well.
So this is Saturday.
This is Saturday at 4:30 p.m. But make sure you go skiing and then come. So it's sort of the Opry ski party.
And you've had a couple of close calls, but it hasn't happened yet.
We only had one.
Is this lucky number three? Or
this is lucky number two.
Lucky number two.
And it's a good thing that we postponed it, too. It was supposed to be Saturday the 28th.
Yeah.
And I remember we did the show that week.
Yeah.
But then it was like gale force winds,
it was
raining
awful.
Sideways. We're like, no, this isn't going to be fun for anyone. So we postponed until now. And luckily, the weather, we've got new snow on the mountain. So it'll be, real nice stuff we're bringing down. And, it looks like the wind speed is calm and, might even be snowing. So it'll be a winter atmosphere. Dress warm.
And this was, you don't need to sign up in advance. This was pretty much you can show up and just participate?
Anyone can show up and participate. Registration opens at 4, and you can come any time to register. So if you can't make it right, you know, at 4, 4:30, you know, we'll have the registration booth open throughout the whole event. If you just want to take one little run on it, that's totally fine. If you want to hang around and, you know, play around on it for a while, there will be a little mini competition and some prizes from all the local board shops. They're putting together little prize giveaways, and mm-hmm. as we are, you know, there'll be a grab bag for everyone that participates.
So we're real close to the holiday break, and so let's assume there's going to be plenty of snow and plenty of skiing. Are there other kind of holiday season-related things for just to let people know about?
Yeah, definitely.
Either one of you?
Well, first, you know, Santa Claus is coming to Eagle Crest on Christmas Eve, so... We're looking forward to that. It's always a good stop for him to come by.
Always good to see Santa.
Yeah, so give us a call at 790-2000, extension 211, or at skijuno.com to get registered for that if you want to bring your family up for that event. And then we've just got a lot of snow sports school programs. The snow sports school will open officially for the year on Saturday. And there's some holiday camps going on. And, you know, if you've already bought your Learn 2 package, you can get your first couple days in. Just a lot of activity regarding the snow sports school as well. So... You know, with the full operation starting Saturday, a lot going on, and you know, check out the holiday camps and all the different snow sports school offerings too.
Charlie, anything to add on that stuff?
I'm excited to see Santa.
We all are. So, full crew up on the hill. Are you guys staffing is full? Are you still looking for people for jobs?
Well, we're looking pretty good. We're always looking for people that are passionate about skiing and snowboarding and want to. Learn to teach people, mm-hmm. instructors. You know, lift operations. We can always have some backup lift operators, but generally speaking, we're looking pretty good. But always, you know, check skijuno.com for up to date listings on positions we might be looking for.
Okay, very good. So, anything else you want people to know about other than just repeating the great news? But go ahead, Charlie.
I think there is a new job that just opened up, a revenue coordinator. So if you have some cash handling and accounting experience, that job just opened up.
Okay. Anything else?
No, just we're looking forward to seeing everybody over the holiday break. All four lifts running, definitely on Saturday through the holiday break. So we look forward to seeing everybody, and think snow.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt and Charlie, both, for coming down once again. And, God, have fun skiing, you guys.
Yeah,
and
we'll see you
up there. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jamie.
Cover of another person. were meant for a friend, all the channels that have broken down. Now you bring it up, I'm gonna ring it up just to hear you sing it out. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and if you believe what we rely on, when I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, oh, listen what I say, oh, I got your head.
It is that time of year, seasonal foods, seasonal beverages, and we have in the studio Andy Klein and John Brody, both from the Alaskan Brewery. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Jamie. It's great to be in our radio studio with you. It's great to be here. Call now, 586-36. Do your part.
And these guys, seasonal beverages, smoked porter, and up at the brewery this Friday is a smoked porter vertical tasting event. So for starters, What the heck is a vertical tasting event?
People might know that term from wine. It's tasting various vintages of the same type of wine and then seeing how the wine has changed through the years. And you can do that with lots of beverages. I wouldn't recommend it with a lot of beers, but most beers go bad after about between 4 to 6 months. But and by bad, I mean they just start tasting not as good. But the smoked porter is this weird, amazing beer that just continues to age and continues to age. And it's a lot like a red wine where it gets all these different notes, sherry notes and like black, you know, currant notes and, you know, deep cherry kind of flavors. I don't know, John.
Tobacco, really, really pretty rich. You know, that port flavor comes through. You get some of that chocolate and caramel popping up towards the end of the flavor profile, and it's really cool to see how it changes.
And it does change through the years, and that's what's really cool. And it's the smoke that's kind of the key to the reason why it does that. The smoke actually acts as an antioxidant. The thing that's making the beer go bad is oxidation.
So some folks who maybe are familiar with what a smoked porter is. But why don't you just real basic, people think of beer and they think of, okay, there's special beers, there's seasonal beers. So this is a special beer that the brewery cranks out, right? This is not year round.
Correct.
But what is it? How do you make a smoked porter?
It's a kind of an amazing story because our genius co-founder, Jeff Larson, who's an amazing brewer, just thought up this idea based on some other beers and some other ideas that he had. A lot of it had to do, believe it or not, with coffee, with smoked salmon, and with a smoked German beer called a Rausch beer that he had heard about but had never tried. And the story is that Grady Saunders and Sandro Lane, Grady Saunders owns Heritage Coffee, and Sandro Lane was the founder of Taku Smokeries. They were all located out there in the Lemon Creek area, as we are still today. Mm-hmm. And there was a salmon smoker and a coffee roaster all operating. They would get together at the brewery after work and kind of talk about business. They were three young business owners in the late 80s. And they hit on this idea of why don't we make a beer that would be like the perfect pairing with smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff told Sandra, well, let me borrow your smoker. I'll smoke some malts and I'll make a Rausch beer. And he put a twist on it. Rausch beers are often lighter beers like Märzen's. And he actually did a porter because he felt like that would be more true to the style of beer at turn of the century, Gold Rush era Juneau. So he was mixing history with this very specific style with a heritage of smoked salmon that's traditionally smoked with alderwood. And that makes this a very different tasting smoked beer than any other smoked beer. That alderwood is very unique. So anyway, all those things came together and made this smoked porter. So, and the one, what I would say is, and John is around this all day because John.
No, I was going to ask. So John, you're kind of on the marketing side,
yeah, I am.
Right?
And John's running our is one of the guys who's working our retail store there in the gift shop at the brewery, and so he's serving smoked porter. And so the 2015 smoked porter, which actually I have a bottle of right here, which we may taste in a moment, Jamie,
with that beautiful label
is
on it.
Out, and we're also serving the 2014 still, and we have some 2013 for sale. And so these vertical tastings was something John got really interested in. Why don't we expand this to all these other beers that we still have here in our vault? So that's the start of this idea.
So Friday, what time Friday?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So in the tasting room there.
Correct.
So somebody who shows up, what are you going to present them with? What are they?
Well, they've got a couple different options. Andy and one of our more senior brewers, Tyler, are going to be putting on a little guided tasting. Oftentimes in the summertime, we have the guided tasting option. We have a separate little tasting room where normally we put on a little presentation about, you know, our history and what beers we have. This is going to be a little bit more focused. It's going to be specifically about the smoked porter, and specifically the vintages that we have. And the ones we're going to be pouring are 01, 05, 08, 2009, 2013 and 15.
Wow, so this really is like fine wines that stay good for a
digging
long time.
Into it. Yeah. And so it's going to be really cool. This is a great chance to learn about this beer, to learn about the style. Very traditional, but with an awesome Alaskan twist. And so hopefully people are getting really excited to come in and go into this back room and learn about this beer so they can come in and pay $5 just like they would for any other guided tasting and hear from some of our pros about this beer and how it ages and what to expect if you do happen to buy some of this beer and you can cellar it yourself at home. You can take care of it at home and see where it's going to go in a few years. You know kind of what to expect. If they don't have time maybe for the whole presentation, probably going to be about a 45-minute, hour-long presentation, we'll be pouring a couple other vintages, probably the 2009, 13, and 15 right at the bar for people to taste, just like they would any other time they come by the brewery to grab their samples. So we have two different options for them. It's either $5 and you get to do all six of these vintages.
And you get my personal attention for $5.
Yeah.
So you're
really not even
Andy.
Paying for the beer. You're just getting Andy
experience. The climb bump.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we call it.
So it's going to be great. I look at this is a chance to really spread some education about this beer. It's an awesome, awesome beer and, kind of our crown jewel. It's something we're really proud of. And
most award-winning beer in the history of the Great American Beer Festival. It's this crazy, amazing product.
Yeah. I looked online, and the accolades for this beer are very impressive. So, there's the year-round beers. You have these remarkable seasonal beers. So this is a limited edition beer.
Yeah, we release it November 1st every year.
And it's, what else about limited edition? I mean, is it just
a smaller barrelage. Mm-hmm. We only do it in these bombers, these kind of 22-ounce bottles, and we also have some kegs that we produce in it. So that's it. It's just a limited release once a year. We smoke the malts for this once a year. We run one run of it, and then that's it. And then that's that year's smoked porter. And, because we're using the alderwood is a little different every year, different malts every year.
Every
there might
year
be slight
little
varying. I think that, John, you were thinking maybe this year the smoke is a little bit less to start than last year's.
Right, yeah. I mean, again, the concept of beers being the same is kind of challenging, but that's the magic of it, is that it's not always going to be the same, especially for a limited release beer like this when you're getting different crops of alder. The malt's going to be different. So
I'm just opening one right now.
He's getting
here
after
we go.
It.
You're
so, also here in the studio, there are these glasses that are kind of like you might think of seeing brandy in or wine
right,
for
a
like
snifter,
a
yep.
snifter
yep.
glass, and I normally wouldn't think of that for beer. So interesting
I'm a big glassware guy. Glassware is fantastic. It really does make a difference. This kind of nice snifter shape really traps in a lot of the aroma, and when it's at the proper temperature, you're going to get lots of different aromatics. And one thing that I always harp on, probably to some people's chagrin in the tasting room, is treat your beers like we've treated wine historically. Take your time with it. Drink it at the right temperature. Take your time with the nose. Smell it, and really engulf yourself in it, because they're saying, you know, smell is probably 70 to 80% of how we perceive taste. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big deal, especially for such a complex beer like this. I mean, that's pretty, there's a lot going on in this one. Right now we've got the 2008.
And it's amazing.
This is drinking incredibly.
Give us a little bit of a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The sherry is just sort of really
jumping
big,
off the glass,
right?
Yeah.
Really the sherry, that moment of silence is we're all,
yeah,
we're all
breathing
the aroma.
Thanks for good radio. That's that theater of the mind they talk about.
Right. So again, this is coming up on Friday at the brewery, starting at 5 o'clock.
Five and six are when the two kind of guided tastings are going to happen. So if you want to be there for one of the guided tastings, come either right at 5 or right at 6. Mm-hmm. And we'll take people into that room and we'll kind of go through these six different years, these vintages. Tyler Lindquist is the man on the can on the Free Ride APA, the guy that you see snowboarding on that. That's one of our most experienced brewers, and he's going to be talking about it. He's the guy that actually is in charge of smoking the malt now, so he's the one that takes it into this old salmon smoker and smokes the malt every year, kind of a specialized process.
You mentioned the artwork on the Free Rider, but I got to ask you, because the labels, the design, the artwork involved with all of the beers, the smoke porter, has always been one of my favorites, and I'm just curious, do you know who
Lauren Giusti is the artist that does most of our labels, and she did the smoke porter label. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different, I think you're right, than the other ones. It's kind of got a separate look and feel to it, and that's just part of the specialness of that beer. This is a beer geek beer, and people, it's sought after, and there's people who every day in the tasting room, someone will come in and say, I have a 1998 that I've been holding on to, that sort of thing.
So for people who are not beer geeks,
yes,
an encouraging hook for the non beer geeks to come on Friday and check this out. What would you say to them?
Well, if you're interested in history, if you're interested in science, if you're interested in drinking, this ties all of those things together. Beer is an incredible thing. You know, we think of it now as, you know, it's a privilege. It's something that we get to work around, and I definitely think of that every day. But for a long time, it was a necessity. And this really ties into that. It's also really cool in that sense. You know, there's a lot of history in beer, but there's a lot of history here in Juneau, too, behind this beer. And so if you're interested in your local history, come visit. I mean, this is something that, you know, we lay claim to one of the coolest beers around.
Yeah.
And it's right over in Lemon Creek. So so come visit. Yeah, this is worthwhile.
A lot of 29 years of history, right?
Oh, yeah.
29 years coming up on 30. Exactly right. And we've been doing this beer for 26 years. So, I mean, it's an incredible history of this beer.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Really unbelievable.
Gotta go, guys. Andy, anything else you wanted to mention before we wrap it up?
No, just that it's going to be a really fun time. The tickets are just kind of available at the door, so there's no like tickets or anything to get ahead of time. Just show up out there at the brewery, and we'll take you through a history tour of beer and of Alaskan beer and of smoked porter, which is one of the premier beers in the world.
John Brody, Andy Klein, thank you very much, both of you, for coming in.
And
I hope it's a great event, good turnout on Friday.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 16th of December, 2015. It's the birthday of Jane Austen, born 1775 in Hampshire, England, seventh of eight children. Father was a clergyman. He encouraged her aspirations when it became apparent that probably she would not marry. He saw to it she had a writing desk, plenty of ink and paper. Her father died suddenly, and the family needed money when Sense and Sensibility came out in 1811. Jane Austen widely read in her lifetime, but she published all her books simply as a lady, rather than using her own name. Her health began to decline. 5 years later, she died at 41, possibly of Addison's disease or lymphoma, or, someone recently suggested, arsenic poisoning. Virginia Woolf called her the most perfect artist among women. And Mark Twain said, "Every time I read Pride and Prejudice, I want to dig her up and beat her over the skull with her own shin bone." It's the birthday of Noel Coward, 1899, near London, author of more than 50 plays, and two volumes of memoirs, Present Indicative and Future Indefinite. He began a third memoir, Past Conditional, unfinished when he died in 1973. one of his most successful plays, Blythe Spirit, written 1941, a comedy about an author haunted by the ghost of his dead first wife. And it's the birthday of the science fiction author Arthur Clarke, born Minehead, Somerset, England, 1917, best known for 2001, A Space Odyssey. He also was an inventor. He developed an early warning radar system during World War II. On his 90th birthday, a few months before he died, Arthur Clarke said, "I have great faith in optimism as a guiding principle, if only because it offers us the opportunity of creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. I hope we've learned something from the most barbaric century in history, the 20th. I would like to see us overcome our tribal divisions and begin to think and act as if we were one family." Here's a poem for today by Matthew Brennan, "Nights Our House Comes to Life." Some nights in midwinter, when the creek clogs with ice and the spines of fir trees stiffen under a blank, frozen sky, on these nights our house comes to life. It happens when you're half asleep, a sudden crack, a fractured dream, you bolting upright, but all you can hear is the clock your great-grandfather found in 1860 and smuggled here from Dublin for his future bride, a being as unknown to him then as she is now to you, a being as distant as the strangers who built this house and died in this room, some cold, still night like tonight, when all that was heard were the rhythmic clicks of a pendulum and something barely audible moving on the dark landing of the attic stairs. A poem by Matthew Brennan, "Nights Our House Comes to Life," from The House with the Mansard Roof, published by the Backwaters Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Staples, with technology products, copy and print, shipping and other solutions for businesses of any size. Learn more at Staples and Staples.com. Staples, make more happen. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Did Anon do it?
What's up with Jay?
This Thursday, join your friends from KTOO Public Media and celebrating the return of Serial. Bring your theories and be prepared to defend them as we discuss Jay, Adnan, and now Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. Meet at COPA 5:30 p.m. for snacks and discussion, followed by a taste of Season 2.
And I'd like to welcome into the studio two staff members from the Juno Arts and Culture Center, or the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, I suppose is the correct way to say it. Meredith Bless and Megan Garrison, welcome to both of you.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks for walking across the street.
It was a long walk.
It was a long way to come. Glad we got you here on time. But you're here to talk about more seasonal beverages, actually, because it's the second annual Naughty or Nice Beer and Wine Tasting Fundraiser for the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. That's what you guys are here to talk about. So tell us, I don't know who's going to go first here, but tell us about this fundraiser for one of our great institutions in town, the Arts and Humanities Council.
Well, we've got K&L and Specialty Imports who have generously donated beers and wines for people to taste. And so that will definitely be the main focus of the event. And we've got little flyers around town that list off some of the different beers and wines that will be there. typically ones you can't get in town, so that's unique. And they'll also be selling cases as well for people. If you find one you love, get it for your holiday party.
Mm-hmm. And they will deliver to anywhere around town. They've got a set list, so you can just order it and then go pick it up at one of the distribution locations, which is nice.
Yeah.
So this is on December 19th,
yep,
correct?
That's right. That's this Saturday.
This Saturday, and it's from 5 to 8 p.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the tastings will happen throughout the event. They'll actually probably end around 7, just knowing the amount of beer and wine they've brought. But from 7 to 8, we will have a no-host bar, so the fun doesn't have to stop right at 7.
That's right. And we actually made it, like, a really nice transition. Megan has been spearheading the beard and mustache contest, which I know people around town have been growing their facial hair out. So you can tell us about it, Megan.
Yeah, it's the first time we've done this. It's called the Lumberjack, pun intended, and Jill beard and mustache contest. And it's
so
open.
I just want to make sure everybody in the audience is hearing this correctly. There's a beard and mustache competition, correct?
Correct.
That's
mm-hmm.
going to be a part of this wonderful beer and wine tasting fundraiser on Saturday. Okay, so I just want to make sure people didn't miss that detail.
Oh, no. That's a good detail to know.
Yeah.
So to enter the competition, you do need a ticket to the event, to Naughty or Nice, and you could get those online at the Jack or at Hearthside Books. Once you get into the building, you can register. It's a $5 registration fee, but all of the money from that will go to the winners of the different categories. And so there's three categories: a full beard, natural beard, a partial styled beard. So you can shave, you can wax, you can do whatever you want, and then a mustache. And those three categories also go for all the ladies out there. If they want to craft a faux beard, they're welcome to do so. There's going to be a booth selling faux beards and mustaches at the event as well. So you have no excuses. I'll be sporting one.
So is this the first time? I mean, I'm unfamiliar with beard and mustache competitions.
It's the first time,
so,
as far as we know. And I've got some help from Pat Race and Aaron Suring, who've actually competed in the international competition. Aaron has won gold, I believe.
So we've got street credit here.
Wow. We do. And then Christine Carpenter will be the third judge. So they'll be there deciding who's got the most style and glamour and who knows what.
So, folks, obviously it's a fundraiser for the Arts and Humanities Council, so right there is a good reason just to attend. And, of course, beer and wine will be a major focus and a part of it, and that can always be a lot of fun as well. And for people who stay, then it culminates with the competition. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of the way it's going to work?
Yeah, and then, well, throughout the whole thing, from 5 all the way until 8, we have about a list of 10 or more vendors that will be there selling things. And it's vendors that you don't typically see at other craft fairs or other events. And so we've tried to make this one as unique as possible, which is why we added in the beard contest. And we've asked these vendors to be a part of the event just to make it different.
So, like, holiday shopping kind of opportunities here.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
we have our lobby shop, which is, tons stocked full of other little gifts and stuff for people. So just in case,
mm-hmm.
holiday shopping or for yourself.
Yeah, it'll be nice. There's stuff for women. There's stuff for men. There's fly ties and wooden burl bowls and Bustin' Out Boutique. A local business downtown is going to do fittings for women, and we've got the beards, of course, red onion spice.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some non-alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be all kinds of stuff.
High Tide Tattoo will be there. They've made some custom temporary tattoos for us, and we'll have a Salon 907. We'll be out there with styling, help people style. We've got Alexandra. She is DN artist. She does makeup, and so she'll be, doing any sort of makeup if you want that. And then Night Moods will be there. and Mountainside Wellness. We'll have gift certificates, Mary Folletti, a couple of jewelry artists. Taku Graphics will be there to talk about quite a few of their new books they've been publishing and their new publishing company. So all kinds of people from around town.
Yep. So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So people should buy tickets in advance. Where can they buy tickets? How much are they?
Tickets, you can buy them at the Jack. We're selling them, or online on our website, jahc.org. And then Hearthside Books is also selling them. We know everyone in Juneau likes to buy tickets last minute or just show up at the door, but...
Darn all of us. We're just that way.
I recommend getting your tickets in advance. It is only... it's $30 if you come as an individual, and then if you come as a duo, so bring a friend, couple, whatever, is only $50, so you save some money there. But I always say buy tickets ahead of time, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we did sell out at the event last year. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and the second annual always implies that the first time worked well or worked well enough that everybody says, well, let's try it again, you know. So, and it sounds like the addition of the beard competition is a really fun addition. So for people who want to learn more, figure out, actually on the beard competition, I'm assuming, are there some rules here? I mean, do people just show up and wing it? Or if they want to figure, if they want to know what the rules are, is that online?
They are posted online on our website. If you go to the events tab, there's a naughty or nice page, and the beard and mustache contest is there. I will be manning the registration booth at the beard contest, and so if they have any questions, I can point them in the right direction and tell them what category they fit into.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, anything else about the event that you would like to talk about?
We're really excited about it. We think we've kicked it up a few notches this year, and I'm excited to sport my own beard.
do you already have it figured out? I mean, do you already know what you're going to do?
Luckily, I have a connection to the booth that's selling the beards.
That's why I wondered about the rules and regulations. Is this an insider deal here?
No, I just get first access to the booth, I think.
I'll just be wearing, I'll have my red high heels. I'm not doing the beard thing. So I'll be more naughty. Megan will be more nice.
And I'm assuming this is Juno attire, whatever goes, or is there a theme for the night, or any recommendations?
We encourage festive wear at all times.
Yes. Be as creative as you want.
But if you show up in your extra tufts with tinsel on them, you'll still get in.
And then before we wrap it up, any other Humanities Council things you wanted to mention, talk about, holiday season related, or was it primarily just to talk about this?
One thing that I will mention is that, as most of you know, if you're a member of the Jack Wearable Arts, tickets are on sale. If you're not a member, become one and you can buy tickets right away. They do always sell out. But something new that we're offering this year is when you buy your ticket, you can get your dinner reservations at the Rookery.
Mm.
And so that's, your whole night is planned. You don't have to worry about it. So we encourage people to do that, and we have that all set up at the Jack. So you can either call us or stop in.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
So we've been speaking with Meredith Bless and Megan Garrison, both of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, talking about the second annual Naughty or Nice Beer and Wine Tasting Fundraiser, which is for the Arts and Humanities Council, sponsored by Specialty Imports and K&L Distributors. It's December 19th. It's this Saturday. Doors open at 5. Sounds like a lot of fun. Beer and wine, followed by the Lumberjack. Oh, and I got to, you guys said Lumberjack, but you have spelt it Lumber J-A-H-C, right?
I'm a fan of the lowest level of humor.
Yeah, well, there you go. Lumberjack and Jill Beard and Mustache Contest will also be part of the festivities. Meredith and Megan, nice meeting you both. Thanks for coming in, and good luck with the fundraiser.
Thank you.
Miracles appear in the strangest of places. Fancy meeting you here. The last time I saw you was just out of Houston. Sit down, let me buy you a beer. Your presence is welcome with me and my friend here. This is a hangout of mine. We come here quite often and listen to music, partaking of yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine, I'm yesterday's wine, aging with time, like yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine, we're yesterday's wine, aging with time, like yesterday's wine. You give the appearance of one widely traveled. I'll bet you've seen things in your time. So sit down beside me and tell me your story. If you think you'll like yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine, we're yesterday's wine, aging with time, like yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine, well, yesterday's wine, aging with time, like yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine, we're yesterday's wine, aging with time, like yesterday's wine. Yesterday's wine, we're yesterday's wine, we're aging with time, like yesterday's wine.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
And I'd like to welcome into the studio on a Juno afternoon, Sonia Turner, who is staff. And I want to make sure I get this right. Are you staff with Catholic Community Services?
Yeah, we're in the Southeast Senior Services Department, though.
Mm-hmm. And you're, actually, why don't you slide a little bit closer to the microphone. And you have a family caregiver support group program that's being reintroduced, is that correct? Or resumed?
Resumed, I guess.
Yeah, resumed.
It hasn't been on for probably, I would say, at least 6 months. So we're just reintroducing it into the area. You're still able to participate even if you're from out of the area. But it's mainly for local people who are taking care of seniors.
So elderly care.
Yeah.
Just broad, big category there, elderly care. Is there a focus to this, or is it just anybody who, whether it's elderly family or friends?
It doesn't matter. If you're just even a caretaker and you don't even really physically, you know, do the care, you just more or less monitor how someone's being taken care of and making sure that someone's looking after them. And so anybody that's involved in caring for an elderly person, or if you're elderly and you care for somebody, you also could come.
So a support group. I mean, I have my own ideas of what, you know, going to a support group, you know, the purpose of it. And so in this case, what's the goal? What's the purpose of offering this kind of service to the community?
The whole goal is to more or less just get people out of their home and so that they can share their stories with other people that are going through the same thing. So it can be really, really stressful to be a caregiver. So if you, you know, meet with other people and you discuss your unique situations, and everybody is so unique that you can find things that help you, You can also just find ways to get it off your chest, find other resources that will be helpful that offer in your home as far as respite or tour, and just different resources that are out there and kind of lean on each other and get it off your chest.
Alzheimer's, dementia, are those kind of large
absolutely.
Portions of this just because of the stress related to that
absolutely,
particular challenge?
Absolutely. That's a really, really big part of it. And the thing about Alzheimer's and dementia is a lot of people don't realize our services are usually for 60 or older, but not just the support group, any of the services that we have. It's also based on if you have Alzheimer's or dementia, the age really doesn't matter. So if you're a caregiver and you need services or you want to come to the support group and you care for someone who's 25 with dementia, it still falls under the senior services.
Mm-hmm. And is this this is being offered in June. So where is this going to be? Let's do the basics here.
Yeah.
Where, time?
The support group this month, just because we're re-getting into the whole, you know, monthly program, will be held at the Adult Bridge Center. And that is over on up in Glacier Highway. And so if anybody doesn't, it's right next to Caravan. So if anybody doesn't really know for it, the official address.
You see it, right? When you're going on Beacon Drive, it used to be
the
old
up in the corner.
Child care
Yes,
place.
And right next to it, there it looks like a house.
Yeah.
And really, that's what it is. But and then right next to it is the little tiny Caravan services, and it's beautiful in there, and they offer really wonderful services every day. Their services are based around people with brain injury or Alzheimer's, dementia, recovering from stroke or cancer, really anybody that just needs supervised simulation, getting out of the house, and they do card games and different activities. It's really wonderful. So we borrowed their center after hours, and so it'd be 5 o'clock tomorrow night. So we're really just trying to get the word out there. So if anybody knows anybody that's interested in attending, we'll have little gift bags for the caregivers as well as some useful things for seniors that are free. We'll also have some resources. We have a guest speaker from the Bridge, Kelsey, who will be introducing her program, and they have 3 free trial days that they, you know, want to let everybody know that it's available. So if you want to come and try it out, see if it's something that you're interested in, she's a really good program and person to talk to. So we're going to try to, in our future support groups, get somebody to come in and really speak. So Alzheimer's Association, of course, and just a lot of our other programs that are around here, counseling, that are available. And they're all free services, so that's wonderful.
Hour long, 2 hours? What do you typically?
We're looking at about an hour, but because it's the first one and because Kelsey's going to be talking, it might go into 2 hours. But anybody that has to hurry up and get back, if they can maybe get someone to come and, you know, a neighbor or a friend to come and watch their family that they're, you know, the people that they're caring for, if they need to leave anytime, obviously they're welcome to go, and we'll just give them all the information and hope that, you know, next time we can set it up so they have a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm. Are you personally there? I mean, do you kind of help lead in case the session needs leading? I mean, sometimes you know, those things, they need to get started and somebody needs to facilitate a little bit help the conversation flow, if you will.
And our biggest topic that we were really going on this month was Alzheimer's and Christmas, just because it's a really hard time with memory and trying to stimulate the person that you're with. And let it be enjoyable for them as well. So we thought that would be a good topic to kind of start with. And if it leads in another direction, then that's wonderful. But I had some cute little books that we had made up that were really useful on 10 tips of crafty ideas that you can do with a person with Alzheimer's to help make it, you know, memorable for them and as well as other family members. Ways of bringing out things that they do remember, usually big family memories as far as Christmas usually are things that usually stick with them the longest. So we're hoping things like that can kind of give them an idea and they can walk away with some really useful ideas to do that. So we're hoping.
I'm guessing a lot of, for a lot of people who could benefit from this support group, they're typically so busy or so kind of dialed into what they're doing in a routine and feeling like they can't break away for these kinds of things. So what, Words of encouragement, whether directly for a caregiver who's listening or somebody who knows a caregiver and they want to encourage them to go. I mean, kind of words of encouragement to, like, break free to attend?
Well, the biggest thing is how important this is to people. I mean, some people just really need someone to talk to and just need to get this off their chest. And Christmas time is a hard time to get away anyway, especially if you are a caregiver. And the thing is, if you're a neighbor or you're a family member who, you know somebody needs to get out for a little while, this would be a great opportunity for you to go and say, hey, you know what, I'll go and watch them for an hour. Get out of the house. Go get a free moment. I mean, it's important for shopping, but it's also important for stress and just to be able to go there and speak to other people going through the same thing that you're going through and just, you know that you have, you know, a neighbor that cares that much or a family member that cares enough to say, hey, you know what, it's okay. You can get out of the house for a while. We'll be there for you, and in the long run, this will, you know, help everybody. So that's what we're really hoping for.
So we're speaking with Sonia Turner, and we're talking about a caregiver support, really for elderly, elderly caregiver support group meeting, which is happening tomorrow, December 17th at 5 p.m., and this is at the Bridge Adult Day Center, located at 1803 Glacier Highway. Just want to make sure people have that information. I think you also I either read online or in your email about a Tai Chi thing.
Yeah, I just wanted
up.
To kind of pre-advertise for that. It's the senior fall prevention class, which is a Tai Chi class meant for seniors. And anyway, we are going to be starting a new one. We usually have a series of so many a year, and the next one is going to be in the Valley. And we don't have the exact date, or it's going to be Tuesdays and Thursdays, mid-January. So once we get the dates, we'll come and, you know, get that advertised out to everybody on the official start date. But we just hired a new woman who's great with seniors and been doing it for years, and she's wonderful. And, yeah, so we just want to let seniors know it'll probably be in the afternoon opposed to at night like the last one.
And what is it about Tai Chi that's a good match here?
It's great for balance. It's really good for the seniors to learn different breathing exercises, great ways to get stress off. You know, and anybody 60 or older is welcome to attend, but at the same time, they've done some for extremely frail. We do require pre-registration if you we prefer it all the time, but if you can't, you can always come the day that the class starts and sign up for registration then, but we prefer if you can call my office, and that's 907-463-6181, and I can get you pre-registered over the phone. You don't even have to get out of your house. And if you require a doctor's approval, we fax that over, and they sign it, and you're welcome to start the class. It's completely free, and it lasts for 8 sessions.
Very good. Well, why don't we end just by reconnecting with the primary reason why you came in. Anything else regarding tomorrow evening's support group that you want to mention before we wrap it up?
That's pretty much it. Just bring yourself, and we'll have Christmas cookies and coffee and cocoa if you don't like coffee and little gift bags. And I just think it'd be a fun night for everybody to just get out and get some stress off.
Sonia Turner of Catholic Community Services, thank you very much for coming
thank
in.
You.
Pleasure to meet you. And
thank you. Pleasure to meet
thank you.
You
for providing the services that you do to our community.
Thank you. It's wonderful to do it.
The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council is hosting their second annual Naughty or Nice Beer and Wine Tasting. This fundraising event takes place on December 19th at the Jack from 5 to 8 p.m. The tasting will begin at 5 p.m. sharp, followed by a no-host bar at 7 p.m., along with the first Lumberjack and Jill Beard and Mustache Contest. Proceeds benefit the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. Information and tickets at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and jack.org.
And weather forecast for tonight, cloudy, chance of rain and slight chance of snow later on, lows around 32 degrees, southeast winds 10 miles per hour, increasing to 25 near downtown Juneau and Douglas, gusts up to 35 miles per hour, developing in the evening. You've been listening to a Juneau Afternoon. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Scott Burton for engineering. My name's Jamie Waste. Have a good afternoon and an evening.